This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part three of a message called How to Study a Bible Passage.
You know the difference between conviction and an opinion? An opinion is something you'll argue about. A conviction is something you'll die for. Do you have any conviction in your life? You are not ready to live until you know what you're willing to die for. Are you willing to die for anything? Until you know and have made that list of, I would die for this, and I would die for this, and I would die for this. You're not living, you're just existing. God is looking for consistent men. Godly men are not just caring, they are consistent. They are proven reliable. They are committed to God's standard, and they're consistent in their values. They don't act this way with one group of people, and this way with another group of people, and this way with another group of people. They're not flimsy where they're moody. This way, they're this day, and another day, they're this way. I remember a kid telling me one time, growing up, I never knew my dad was going to hug me or slug me. He was moody. He wasn't consistent, which means he was not a godly man. That's it's a trite cliche, but it's true. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. A godly man is caring. He doesn't just care about his own agenda. He cares about other people. And a godly man is consistent. He's proven reliable. Number three, next verse. He said, I sent back to you Epaphroditus, my brother and my fellow worker and my fellow soldier. And he gives us three metaphors here that are relational. Brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. He said he's also your messenger because you sent him to me to take care of my needs. You sent him to bring me good word of you. Now, each of these three metaphors have something in common. And what they have in common is cooperation. I want you to write this down. A godly man is cooperative. He said, he's my brother, he's my fellow worker, and he's my fellow soldier. Why? Because the Christian life is a family, it's a fellowship, and it's a fight. First, we are a family. He says, he's my brother, we're related. Did you know that the phrase brother and sister is used about 133 times in the Bible to refer to Christians? For thousands of years, church members always referred to each other as brothers and sisters. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. There's brother Tom and there's sister Jane and there's brother this. And that, I actually think that's a good thing. It might be a good thing to bring back because the church is a family, not an institution. The Bible tells us in Scripture that we are to treat older women in the church as mothers. We are to treat older men in the church as fathers. We are to treat the younger men in the church as brothers. And we are to treat the younger women in the church as sisters. Why? Because we're a family. We're children in God's family. And we are brothers and sisters. And there is a relationship there. And not only we're a family, we're a fellowship. We're fellow workers. That means we have the same task, the same mission, the same great commission. We're to work together. We're to serve together. We're fellow workers. And then not only that, we're co-laborers in arms. We're comrades in arms. We are fellow soldiers because we have the same battle. We got the same enemy, Satan. So we support each other. We encourage each other. That's why we have small groups, because we're in this together. A godly man is cooperative. When you see a guy who goes, I don't need anybody else. I'm a lone ranger. He's not a godly man. When you see somebody who says, I don't really need to go to church. I don't need a small group. I don't need anybody else. He's proving that he doesn't know how much he needs what he needs. Because nobody has it all together. We need each other. You have strengths that I need. I have strengths that you need. And we need each other. And godly men cooperate. They're not lone rangers. They're not difficult to get along with. They know how to be on a team. They're team players. They know how to work. They know how to give and take. And in business, guys will pay maximum bucks for people who have relational skills, guys who have team member mentality, who know how to play on a team, who are not the independent jerks who just go off and do their own thing. Now, Paul, of all people, is a superstar, spiritual superstar, and yet even he knows we're better together, that we get more done when we work together. He recognizes that we need each other, and a godly man knows how to work with others, knows how to be a team player, isn't difficult. He's relationally cooperative. He's caring. He notices other people's needs, not just his own. He's consistent. You can count on him to keep his word, and he is cooperative. Number four, look at the next thing. In verse 26, it talks about Epaphroditus, and it says, for he, Epaphroditus, longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Now notice, this is the emotional content. What's going on here? Here's a church over here in Greece called the Church of Philippi that's started by Paul. Paul's in prison in Rome in Italy. They take up a love offering to send to Paul. And then they say, we need somebody to take it. One of the businessmen in the church, Epaphroditus, goes, I'll do it. Now, he's going to have to walk. There's no planes, trains, automobiles. He's going to have to walk all the way around from Greece to Italy. And there's going to be bandits, and there's going to be no motels, no hotels, and he's going to have to leave his business behind for a few months while he goes and does this. He's doing this at great personal expense. On the way, Epaphroditus gets sick and nearly dies delivering the offering, which the people said, we entrust to you. We believe you won't spend it, you won't rip us off, you'll get it to the right place it needs to go, because he's got integrity. And on the way, he nearly dies. When word gets back to the home church, Epaphroditus nearly died on a peace trip. He was out there and he got so sick, they got all worried. Now, what is his reaction? He is distressed by their distress. He is concerned about their concerns. He's worried about the fact that they're worried about him. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about how his actions and his words are causing grief to other people. This is the fourth characteristic of a godly man. He is considerate. Considerate means you think of not just what other people say, but you think of their emotions. You think of how what you say and how you act is going to affect other people. It says he longs for you because he's distressed because you heard he was ill. He's distressed about their distress. Are you ever distressed about anybody else's distress? Are you ever worried about anybody else's worries? Are you ever concerned when somebody else is afraid? Or do you just go, get over it? A godly man is considerate. He's considerate. He's concerned about the feelings of others. Now, sometimes I'll hear a guy say, you know what? I just say what I think. And they almost like brag about it. Like, I just tell it like it is. Well, there's a word for that. Rude. Any idiot can say what he thinks. It takes a mature man to hold his mouth when he knows he needs to hold his mouth. Babies say what they think. Little kids say, they just blurt it out. They have no filter on their mouth. If you have no filter, don't be proud of it. People say, well, I just say what I say and let the chips fall. Then you're not a very mature man. You're just flat out rude. And you don't know how to be a grown-up. Because grown-ups know there's a time to say things and a time to not say things. So don't be proud of rudeness. A godly man is considerate. Let me show you a verse, 1 Peter 3:7. You might write this down. It's not on your outline. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives. Be considerate. Now, we're not by nature considerate. In fact, we're typically inconsiderate in so many areas. In fact, this is the number one cause of marriage problems. The number one cause of marriage problems is simple selfishness. I want what I want, you want what you want, and we're inconsiderate of each other. We're inconsiderate primarily in our decisions, how we make decisions. We're inconsiderate of each other's fears. We're inconsiderate of sex. We're inconsiderate of communication. So I thought, as your pastor and in the desire to end the wars between the genders, I would show you a two or three diagrams that will help you understand the opposite sex a little bit better. So you'll be a little bit more considerate of them. Now, when it comes to sexual makeup, the physiological makeup between a man and a woman look like this. It's pretty simple for a man. He's got an on and off switch. Okay, women, they got enormous dials and gauges and buttons, and it's all got to be tuned in just right. For a man, it's just on and off. Okay? Now, we must be considerate of each other. God wired women that way, and God wired men that way. So it's not like one's better than the other. It's just the way God wired men and the way God wired women. That's the physiological difference. Now, how men and women make decisions are also very different. Here's an example. Let's say you got to go to Gap to buy a pair of pants. Okay. The blue is the female line. The red is the female. And the blue is the male. Okay. Now, if you're going to go to Gap, first the woman goes in, she makes a detour to Macy's, stops at every store in the mall on the way, then goes by to JCPenney's and stops at every store there, goes down to Nordstrom's and Sears, comes back, finally goes into Gap. Okay. The male, he just makes a beeline for Gap. So, in buying a pair of jeans, it takes the male 6 minutes and $33. The female, it takes 3 hours, 26 minutes, and costs almost $900. Because she bought a bunch of other things on the way while she was planning to go. That's just the way we are. We need to be considerate of each other, okay? Now, let me explain to you the idea of decision-making, okay? Okay, the chances of a man winning an argument. Okay, in the dating stage, he's got a 50-50 chance of winning the argument, okay? Once they get engaged, it drops to 20%. Once you're married, forget it, guys. Don't even worry about it, okay? I talked to a guy once married 72 years. I said, "What's your secret?" He said, "Oh, it's just two words." I said, "Really? You were married for 72 years and it only two words?" Yeah, I said, "What are the words?" He said, "Yes, dear." All right, so a godly man is considerate. All right, number five, look at the next verse, verse 27. It says, indeed, talking about Epaphroditus, he was ill and he almost died. And he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give me. He's saying, you guys here in Philippi, you couldn't come and help me when I was in prison in Rome. So you sent Epaphroditus, and on the way, trying to walk from Greece to Rome, he nearly died. Now circle the phrase, risking his life. Because this is the fifth characteristic of a man of God. A man of God is caring. He thinks about others, not just himself. He's consistent. He keeps his word. He's proven trustworthy. He's cooperative. He's a brother. He's a fellow worker. He's a fellow soldier. He's considerate. He's worried about how you are feeling emotionally. He listens to your emotion. And number five, a godly man is courageous. He's courageous. He risked his life, almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give him. A godly man, fearless. Fearless. Lord, make us fearless. Now notice what he's courageous about. Risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give me. He's courageous, not for his own benefit. He's taking risks for the benefit of others and the kingdom of God. Now, I meet guys, all kind of guys today, who take risks for themselves. They'll go climb mountains and scale walls and surf enormous waves and bet the farm on a business deal as long as they're going to personally benefit from it. But I'm not talking about risking, doing risky stuff so you can get a rush thrill from an extreme sport, or risking something so you can get glory, or risking something so you can make a lot of money. I'm talking about risking for the benefit of somebody else. How often do you do that? Oh yeah, you've made risks in your business life. You've made risks in your sport life. How often do you make life-taking risks for the benefit of somebody else? That's a godly man. He made an inconvenient journey for the benefit of another. He made a peace trip. He puts the cause of Christ before comfort. Paul's in prison in Rome. He's in Greece. The church takes up a love offering. No planes, no trains, no automobiles. And he volunteers to be the courier, and he nearly dies. And yet he perseveres in spite of his pain. He's committed to finishing what he started. Now let me ask you this. If your pastor, that's me, asked you to take an offering to another church and you'd have to walk 800 miles to take it, would you do that? If I were to ask you to take an offering 800 miles for the benefit of another church and it required, would you do that? That's the kind of courageous attitude a godly man has. There aren't many men like this today. It's very rare. Most people says, I'll live for Christ when it's convenient. And, I'll forget church. I love church, as long as there's not a good game on. And, if it's coming on soon, I will leave early because the game is more important to me than God. God uses courageous people who put people before profits and who put courage before comfort and convenience, who put service before security, who take a risk for the kingdom of God, who serve God and others with reckless abandonment. That's a godly man. And Paul says, you need to honor men like that. The phrase here, he risked his life, in Greek literally is, he hazarded his life. It's a gambling term. He's going to roll the dice and go on, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to make it back, but I'm going to make sure that offering from that church gets to Paul in Rome. And if I die trying, so be it. I die trying. He is God's great gambler. I see guys gambling their lives on stupid stuff today instead of gambling on stuff that'll make their lives count and last forever. He's God's gambler. He's gambling his life for Jesus Christ. Is your commitment to Christ deep enough to cause you to risk anything in your life for it? Or is it just a convenient faith? I mean, think of the excuses Epaphroditus could have said. Wait a minute, I got a business to run. I got a family to take care of. I got kids in school. You're going to ask me to leave my work, to leave my shop, and to take 2 or 3 months and travel to another nation to help another church? No. I've got my agenda. Paul says, I don't have anybody like Timothy. He genuinely cares about other people, not just his own agenda.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. Here's Rick to tell you more.
To fulfill the purpose that God created you for, and to become the person that God wants you to be, you must fill your life with His Word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, through the Word we are put together and shaped for the tasks that God has for us. You see, God's Word is unlike any other Word. It's alive. In John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. When God's Word comes into your life, you come alive. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. The Bible tells us that God's Word generates life, creates faith, it produces change, it frightens the devil, it causes miracles. The Bible tells us that God's Word heals our hurts and builds our character and transforms our circumstances. The Bible tells us that God's Word imparts joy, it overcomes adversity, it defeats temptation, it infuses hope, it releases power, it cleanses our minds. The Bible says God's Word brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. Now, to help you study the Word of God and to deepen your understanding of this life-changing Word, I've created a resource. It's called 40 Days in the Word, and it's a study kit that you can do by yourself or even better, do it with a couple friends in a small group. It includes a DVD study of 6 sessions and a workbook and other instructions on how to memorize Scripture, how to meditate on God's Word, and how to get God's Word into your heart and life at a level you have never had it before. This month, when you give a gift to help support the ministry of Daily Hope, I want to send you the 40 Days in the Word study kit. It'll help you study the Bible, but as I said, it can also be used as a small group study where you'll learn methods of personal Bible study. This is all for your gift to Daily Hope. I've told you before, we're a 100% listener-supported ministry, and your financial gift goes directly toward telling people around the world about the hope of the good news. I do this for free. I don't get any remuneration for doing this. I do this because I care about God's Word and I care about you. The Bible says we can't live without the Word of God. We are to never take it for granted. We are to consider it an essential part of our lives, as essential as eating on a daily basis. Job 23:12 says, "I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." Do you do that? This study kit, 40 Days in the Word, can teach you how to treasure God's Word even more than food.
We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word 6-session video and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.